Welcome everyone to the Art of Reality Creation 2.0. This is the first class of this course, and we are happy to be here today. We are here, it's me, which is Brandon, obviously, and Christine.
Hi.
And Mr. Justin.
Hello, everyone.
You don't have to call him Mr.
But I want to call him Mr. Because it just, Justin sounds too short. Like, well, I guess Christine does too.
But Mrs. Not, Christine?
Mrs. Christine just sounds awful. Anyway, so we are here for the Art of Reality Creation 2.0. I'm very excited about this. Also, a good bit nervous because this is, you know, been a long time in coming.
Oh, you'll be fine.
And so I think it'll go well, though. So first of all, a few brief things before anything. First of all, as I've said before, a lot of this is very much updated from the first class. There is some stuff that will be the same or at least similar. I mean, it'll all be a bit different because I'm not going off notes or anything from the first class. It's not like based, it's loosely based on, but I'm not like trying to go off of those notes or anything.
Unless you had a relapse of memory.
That's true. But I didn't. And if I did, you would remind me.
That is true.
True.
So this will all be based on that, but there is a lot of new material, and especially, you know, since it's so hard to believe, since the Art of Reality Creation 1.0, which is what I'm now calling the other one, we've had, you know, basically my introduction to the left-hand path since last October and magic, and now this other stuff recently with, you know, black magic and getting more specific about all that kind of thing. There's and not only that, but we've had the subconscious structures, we've had the different types of goals. None of this stuff was in the first class, right? So it was very much time for an update, and this is hopefully going to live up to that expectation. The second thing that I want to mention is that essentially, you know, I've mentioned before, I use the law of attraction publicly very, very reluctantly. I am not really going to do so very much here because I don't have to.
Because I told you that.
Well, I wasn't planning on it anyway. But because, you know, it's usually I'm doing it for keyword, getting keywords in for the search engines and for law of attraction people to find us. All of you already know what we're up to. You already know what we're about. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to, you know, say things I don't really want to or terms I don't want to use. So I'm not going to put up that kind of facade here. I'm going to be as open as I can. And because the reality is, it's not just semantics. That's the thing. The law of attraction, as commonly stated, is a very passive process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Justin and I have, I used to. Justin has never done it that way.
No.
I haven't for the last 6 months. So, you know, it's not really an accurate term. There is part of the process, you know, there is what I would call a law of attraction where like attracts like, but it's such a minuscule part of the process that to name the whole process after that is really misleading. It's really misleading. So I don't really feel right using that term here because it's not what we're doing. Again, most of the law of attraction teachings and just the law of attraction in general, I mean, it's in the name, the law of attraction. You don't have to work to attract. And that's really kind of the thing that people, or, you know, why people like it. But, you know, it's a very passive process, right? What we're doing here, which you could call creation, I'm going to use my term of late, you know, black magic, magic in general, is active. It's creative. You know, it's very active. There's not really much passive about it. Yes, there are elements of it that are passive, but on its own, it's just not really passive at all because, as we said, I believe in the support call number 33, you know, This is, you're forging the path to your goal. That doesn't sound passive, does it? You know, especially for these next level goals, you're forging the path to your goal.
It's not.
You're forging the path to being a creator also. So that is very active, you know, to being the creator of your life. So that's why I'm dropping that term law of attraction, and we're just going to use magic or black magic or creation or anything like that is going to be synonymous here. But we're really not going to use the law of attraction as a term unless it directly applies, as in when you actually enter that stage of the process, okay, which will come later on. But the first stage of the process is very, 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 very active and creative. So I just want to get terms straight. You know, if you're wondering why we use the term black magic, you need to go back and read that post. What is black magic? It's on the blog. And that will explain kind of where we're coming from on this and why we're using that term. I'm not going to go over the whole thing again.
Because I usually use the word creation.
Creation, yeah.
Straight that works creation.
So like, no, any of this, it's all synonymous. But basically, you know, black magic is the act of imposing your will upon the objective universe. And more metaphysically speaking, it is the act of manipulating energy in such a way that the laws of the objective universe are bent to your will. Okay, it's all energy work. And I said this in the first class too, it's all energy work. So I'm going to teach you a lot about energy, a lot about how to work with and manipulate energy, and how to use that for magic, for creation. So after this point, no more law of attraction unless it's directly applicable. Last thing, in the last class, we did kind of long hour and a half classes. We did three of them, and they were kind of group sort of live classes. And obviously, this time we're doing pre-recordings. Each recording will be approximately an hour. It's us, so we'll probably go a little over. But it'll be around an hour. And I don't honestly know how many recordings there will be yet. I did say three in the marketing. It will be at least three, let's say that. It may be four, it may be five, it may be six. It won't be more than that. I would guess four, maybe five at the most. I don't know, just because there's a lot of material. I'm not going to say this is how many there are going to be. So we're just going to go until the energy runs out. And, you know, going on top of that, your discussion in between each recording, for those who are taking this for the first time, as these recordings are being produced, your discussions between the recordings will be invaluable because it'll show us what you need more clarity on, what you want us to cover more of, and, you know, what we maybe didn't cover as well as we could have. So you'll be able to show us, you know, where do we need to kind of direct our focus as we go through all this. I do have a very specific plan of what I want to cover, but, you know, I'm also flexible. So your input is very important through all this. All right. So with all that said, the first thing I want to cover is, again, going into this idea of magic / black magic / creation. What are we doing here? What is this all about? Again, it's not passive, as I said. It's very active, right? We already know that. What we're doing here is basically, again, bending the laws of the cosmos, of the objective universe, to our will. I want to name it for what it is and be very specific about it. Because what we're doing is disrupting the current order of things to change them to what we want them to be. That's a very powerful statement.
The words that you'll hear me use are create and initiate, because that's kind of what I am. I mean, I'll just be honest, I'm aggressive.
Right, right, yeah.
I just almost compare myself to when you say, give me the ball and get out of my way. That's just kind of how I've always thought of it.
Right. So, you know, you are very definitely, you know, bending the laws of the universe, disrupting the laws of the objective universe. That's what you're doing. Let's not mince our words. And So that's a very powerful thing, you know, because we're here for results, right? And all of you know, if you know my blog, if you know who I am, we're here for results. We're not here for feel good stuff. You know, let's just, the emotions are enough kind of thing. We are here for results, right? If you're not getting results, it's not worth it.
You remind me of me right now.
Why?
Because I always say that when I do my massage there. When I work on my clients, I tell them, I don't give sissy massages.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's true.
You're wasting my time and you're wasting yours.
Right.
If
you want that, you go to a spa, because I don't do that. I do deep tissue work and it's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I've never had deep tissue, but I heard that it does hurt. So that.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, my God.
Oh, you're such a wimp.
I am a wimp. I know. I admit it freely. So, you know, again, we are here for results. Okay, so what you are doing is not going with the flow. You are, I mean, in a certain sense, that comes later, but you're creating the flow that you want to go with is kind of the best definition I can describe it as. You're redirecting the flow and then going with it. I remember in one post, I gave the example, I don't remember which post this was now, but I think it might have been Speed Up Your Manifestation Process, I don't know. But I gave the example of, you know, you have like a water slide, right? And on a water slide, you have to go against the nature of water to go downhill. It has to get pumped up to the top of the water slide so that it can go down. If it's not pumped up to the top first, it's never going to go down the slide. It's just going to sit there, right? So you have to act against the nature of water in order to get it to the top, so then the flow will be to go down the slide. So that's what we're doing, is creating the flow you want to have and then going with the flow to your goal. So the passive part does come in, but not at first, okay? Because you have to go against that nature, and that's why it's, you know, black magic. You're disrupting the order. It's like, okay, you're going against the nature of water by making it go up when usually it would go down. And then you let it go down from your new point. Okay, so that's a good metaphor for kind of what we're doing. You're redirecting the flow, and so that brings me to my first distinction, and this is one that I've been thinking about recently, and that is of Justin. I talked to you a little bit about this, mm-hmm. of inertia versus dynamism.
Ooh,
did I tell you about this?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
Maybe.
Anyway, inertia versus dynamism.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that, I know what it is.
Right. Yeah, that is the distinction I want to draw here. Because, you know, when we say order, what order really is inertia. And dynamism is the act of disrupting or changing inertia. Okay, that's what the magician does. So what you have to know, what you have to realize, is that as long as you don't apply your art as a magician to the world, to the objective universe, it'll remain in inertia, which means that it will continue going as it is. Now, what's, you know, the, you know, some of the Newtonian laws, one of them is, you know, something in motion will continue to be.
Motion stays in motion.
Stays in motion unless a force acts against it. And something that is at rest will remain at rest unless something acts against it. So your life, your goals. Let's just take money goals are kind of the easiest to discuss because it's very quantitative, right? Your goal, let's say you're making, you know, $30,000 a year or something. That is your inertia.
Oh, I remember this now.
Yeah, good. Surprise. Light bulb goes off. So as long as you aren't changing that with, you know, these magical principles that we'll discuss, then it will remain at that level.
Right.
There, and we'll discuss soon what can possibly change those levels.
It'd be like flowing down a river and just going with the river's flow without...
You're just going with it, right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's inertia. And the world is always going really with inertia. Inertia is the way of things. It takes work to go against inertia, right? If you're in a car and you're trying to, you know, you're at rest and you're trying to move it, it takes fuel, it takes energy from, you know, the engine and all that to, and I don't know how a car works, so, but to get it moving. And if you're moving, it takes the brakes to stop moving or to slow down. Okay. Everyone, my grandmother used to do this thing when I was a kid. My mother got so mad. She used to take me up to we were in a car, but she used to take me up to the top of this big, big, big hill. And we would coast down. And she would, you know, you start at the top and she, you know, we'd start driving down. And then she'd just let go of everything, let go of the gas and everything, let go of the brakes. And we just coast down the hill. And the steeper the hill is, you know how this works, the faster you're going to go down the hill.
How fast did you go?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't really know. I don't remember.
That's what grandparents are for.
Dude. Yeah, that's
what you're not supposed to do.
That's right. So we would do that. And, you know, that was always fascinating to me because, you know, even when you have your foot off the gas, you still have momentum. You still have that inertia going until, you know, friction and gravity and that kind of stuff acts against it to a sufficient degree that you slow down and stop. But you know, if that hill's steep enough, you're gonna keep going for a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what inertia is. Now, inertia is not necessarily a bad thing if it's going where you want it to go. You know, it's like that water slide I gave the example of. If that water's at the top, inertia is a great thing. It's gonna go down. That's just what it's going to do. That's the nature of the water. If it's at the bottom, then it's not a great thing because that's not where you want it to be. You want it to go back up to the top.
Right.
You know, so inertia can be used to your advantage. There's nothing that's like that's bad here. It's just that inertia quite often is not where you want it to be. So think of your goal. And this is very important. We'll talk probably... I don't know, probably next class about choosing your goal. This is just general today. But think of a goal you might choose and where is it right now? Where is that goal right now? Without you acting on it, without anything else magical going on or even intentional action, because intentional action, we'll talk about this in a few minutes. Intentional action is a form of magic. Black magic. Without any input from you, your current goal is at the place dictated by its inertia. So again, if you're making $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year, that's your inertia. Unless you go in and, you know, try to get a promotion, or unless you get fired or something, you're going to keep making that year after year after year. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your inertia. It takes work. And so this is again, and I will use law of attraction to differentiate where we differ. Where we differ is law of attraction says your goal is in the flow of the universe. Mm-hmm. Guess what? No, it's not. Because your goal is going to, if it's against the current inertia, is going to take work to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. If you're in that car coasting down the hill, then, and you want to be at the bottom of the hill, then yes, inertia is going where you want to go. But if it's somewhere else, then it's not. Then it takes work, you know, turning where you want to turn, using the fuel to you know, give power to the car and that kind of thing. It takes work to get where you want to go. That's just basic mechanics, you know?
Right.
Right? So That's the difference. With these magical principles, we realize that inertia is what you've been doing and the results you've been getting. It's not because, I mean, yes, resistance will play a part, but resistance really doesn't have a part in all this because you don't, let's, again, money. If you're making $30,000 a year and, you know, there's not necessarily resistance there. That's really easy to do. You could feel really good. Mm-hmm. Right. You could feel really good and keep making that year after year because that's the inertia. And feeling good isn't going to change that one bit. Right? So, you know, if you say, well, it would be nice. Let's say, okay, take the usual stereotypical, let's say, law of attraction practitioner who says, okay, I'm making $30,000. I would like to make $50,000. And so they ask it once of the universe for, you know, 68 seconds or whatever Abraham says, and they let it go, and then they do their thing. They go to work. They don't think about their goal. They go and be happy by, you know, watching cat videos or whatnot. And then after a year, they say, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Is that just maybe? I mean, like, is that the average, or is that who else says 68 seconds?
That 68 seconds is what they say you need to for something to manifest. 68 seconds of pure focus.
Okay.
And that's enough for something to manifest, which it's not if it's a next level goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe for a current level goal, but then probably even shorter than that too. So, but you know, it's not going to change. It might change a slight bit if you were somehow holding on the brakes and then just feeling good that little bit kind of let them go. So maybe you'll make 32,000. Maybe you'll get a bonus at the end of the year or something, you know, or something like that. You'll get a small little windfall, but it's not going to be that goal. It's not going to be that $50,000 goal.
You got to work for that 50,000. That's
you got to work.
Right.
Over half, especially that's not even next level. That's like two levels up almost.
Ultimate. I mean, that's
more than an alternate, but it's
more than almost double what you make. More than half of double what you make.
Yeah, two thirds. Yeah,
so, yeah, I couldn't get that number out, man. But yeah,
166%. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's that's
of course only you would do that.
Right. So it takes work. That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. It takes work to go against that inertia, right? So you want to acknowledge where your goal is. And again, you're not there because of resistance. There may be resistance if you're really working towards the next goal, then yes. But the reason you are where you are is not necessarily because of resistance. Not likely, not in most cases.
Right.
Right. It's just the inertia of it. It's just where it is.
Because you've already gotten rid of the resistance to get to that point.
So right.
That's really just you being passive.
Exactly.
And using, and going with the flow. You know, you going with the flow and you'll attract things on that level, but that's most likely not really going to change at all.
Right.
Because you really do have to do some work. That's kind of what I did. I knew I always had to do something to make something happen. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to apply in that dynamism, which we'll talk about. To change it. Now, okay, what changes inertia? Basically, two things. You setting and choosing a goal for something more will change it for the positive, more towards what you want. Or the triggering of resistance may drag it down. So, you know, for example, if let's say you have a job and you're getting a good paycheck every 2 weeks or so, and then you get this idea that you want to start a business, and even though you have a lot of fear, you do this bravado thing where you say, you know what, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go start my business and be free. Okay?
That's stupid, for one thing.
Right. Well, unless you are very confident that you know you can do it, or unless you have a lot saved up. Right.
Yeah. Well, yes, but a lot of people don't.
So here's what happens. You know, because people say, well, if I have that level of abundance in my consciousness, then I should keep making it. Not really. Because when you quit that job and then you start that business, first of all, you have all sorts of resistance around the business, most likely, because you've never done it before. Second of all, you've closed a doorway to abundance being your job.
By leaving, right?
Right. Yeah, that was part of your consciousness to abundance.
Right. That was one of your doorways. That was one of the ways that your subconscious said, yeah, I can get money this way. That's easy. Thirdly, your subconscious isn't used to money coming through your business. So when you think of getting the same amount, or even a lesser amount, let's say $30,000 or $25,000 a year from your business, your subconscious box, it's like, no. You know, it's like, that's not possible. Because I remember when I started my business.
Oh, my.
And, you know, my subconscious was like, nah, there's no way. Right? And now it's been picking up so much more. And this, in March of 2017, I'll give that just for those who are listening to the class much later on. March 2017 was the most successful month thus far of the business. It was like, it topped all previous records for me. Of income and all that, you know, so that, you know, my subconscious got used to the idea that I can make money through the business. But before, let's say
part of it was my fault.
Well, because certain comments, words are very, very, very powerful. We won't go into that.
Part of what was her fault?
I'll give the quick story. I started the...
There's Christine again. Here we go.
You told me to, literally. I wasn't going to do it.
It's a good example. Go ahead.
In July 2015, I started the business. Literally July 2nd, I got my NLP certification, my practitioner of NLP. And I started my business. And immediately that month, I got a lot more business than I expected. And it was literally this thing where every time I got a new sign up, I'm like, you're joking. And then my subconscious would do this thing where it's like, there's no way that's going to happen again. But it would happen again. It would happen again. It would happen again. It was getting easier, right? I was doing pretty well. And so, you know, that was a very, very successful month. Not as successful as the last one in March, but it was very successful. It was close. For the first month of a business, that was amazing. But the thing was, it was all repeat clients. I had the same kind of handful of clients that kept coming back for second and third and fourth sessions, which you'd think is amazing, but, you know, not much in the way of new clients because just I wasn't well known yet, right? So Christine says, she's hiding. It obviously triggered some resistance in my subconscious, which Christine says, and it was meant so well too. Maybe soon you'll actually get some new clients. Wasn't that how you said it?
I think so.
Something like that. Really. Maybe soon you'll actually get some new clients. And I'm like, oh, like it just hit this perfect.
See, now, if you were to say that to me, I wouldn't be upset. Spot.
You don't know that. I've said things before that I don't think they would upset you, and it did. It just hit this perfect weak spot in my, in my armor, so to speak, and it crumbled. It crumbled. It almost immediately, all business dried up for about 4 months.
Wow, Christine.
That's some powerful words, right?
What did you do?
Well, 4 months.
I didn't know I was such a powerful
author. So now when she says, I'm like, if she's, sometimes she still does this when she says something, I'm like, Christine, don't use your words like that. I'm like, take it back. And she's like, okay, I'll take it back. And I'm like, say the opposite, okay?
You blew that house down.
Yeah.
And I try to be so careful now.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you
throw a house.
I know. So that's the danger of letting other people know your goals, and especially when you're married, because they'll hit on those.
Well, I'm more weaknesses. Careful now.
Yeah, you are. You're a lot better.
But that's my job. I'm supposed to
get sure.
Your job? What? That's your job? Oh my god! Look,
you don't know what he put me through years ago. Okay.
With what?
Nothing. It's okay. With,
vengeance. Revenge.
Revenge. Anyway, so that's the power of words, a short little lesson on the power of words. Be careful how you use them, because they will crush you if you use them wrong. Anyway.
Yes, that is true.
So again, the two ways that inertia can be changed are willing and choosing your goal and, you know, actually moving towards it, or resistance that is triggered. Okay, and I gave the example of the job. Here's what you have to understand about these things. I said how some people will say, you know, well, I already have that level of abundance in my subconscious, so it should keep up. But your subconscious doesn't just see general abundance, sort of, kind of, but it also sees the sources, the doorways through which that abundance can come. And this is, again, I'm just using the money example because it's a good quantitative goal. So if you're getting, again, $30,000 a year, and, you know, but your subconscious knows that paycheck is there every 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, you know, that's inertia, that's easy. Now, if you change that, if you disrupt that, then it doesn't know where the money's going to come from, because all the other pathways for the money to come aren't as free. You know, those doorways aren't as open. So by default, things are going to drop because, number one, you've closed that doorway. And number two, you've introduced a lot more resistance. So that's a way that you can drop, you know, you can drag your inertia down to a place you don't want
to
go.
I've tried to tell people that. They were like, how does Brandon do? And remember I said, well, he's got the highway already built.
Right, exactly.
You've got to build your highway. That's why he can do it. You got to build your highway.
I mean, I started in earnest working on money goals in October of 2016. And nearly every month I saw more income than the month before, nearly every month. So, you know, that pathway of abundance was getting built up month after month after month. And then once, you know, those structures were built, opportunities just started flooding in. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the one that I'm working on right now. Again, it's very close to completion. And then Christine's job now, you know, because, you know, as a married couple, and we have a joint bank account, so her money is my money is her money. So a lot of my manifestations will sometimes come through her.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Because it's possible. Mm-hmm. In fact, when, you know, when I first started with the Law of Attraction back in 2015, a lot of my manifestations, my money manifestations would come through Christine because I just didn't have, and it was actually really sore spot for me.
Yeah, you hated that.
I hated it. I wanted to be, you know, the provider and all that. But those doorways weren't open for the money to come through my business yet because there was just too much resistance, too much blockage, too many blockages there.
You said that was when the business started, right?
That was when the business started. Those dry months, we still did okay financially because a lot of it would come through Christine, you know.
But there'd be times like we would just barely make it to the end.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. We struggled for sure.
Like, but we haven't had those times since.
Oh, for at least for a year now.
Well, I don't know, because even, I don't know, maybe even less, because...
Yeah, a little bit last summer, I guess.
I would say it started in...
October.
In October, when you did your stuff, because, you know, that's when I, you know, you kept telling the story about the rent.
Yep, yep.
Like, because it would only work if we only gave my mom less rent, but after that, after we decided to give it to her, and we just kept getting all these blessings after blessings.
Yeah, and that started exactly a year ago. So yeah, you know, that's, you have to be careful about the doorways these things can come through.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I tried to, I tried to hint at that on calls without
saying
it quite like that, because I wasn't sure if you wanted, if you were ready to do that. But no, they're doorways. That's why they say in Conjure and some of these other arts, you open your roads.
Yeah.
The crossroads, the doorways, that's opens doors. That's what that is. So you have to know where your money can come from, or whatever it is you're looking for, where your money comes from. You have to build those channels. You know, I think I said that if Brandon was trying to make his money through another avenue, it wouldn't be nearly as easily as easy, because that avenue is not built. And you can still do it, and you may be able to do it a little easier than average because you're kind of used to the feel that you wouldn't be able to do it as easy because that door's not open. Where, you know, and so that's why I told people, and I've said, when you've got more people in the way, like at a work site, it's more difficult to open that door. You've got to do some more stuff to open that door.
Right.
You know, so that's how that works.
Well, and that's what's happening with, you know, this opportunity I'm working with, you know, but the job I'm working towards getting. Mm-hmm. And that has brought up a lot of resistance because that's not a usual doorway for me. I've, you know, that's never been a usual thing.
You blocked it for a while.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I mean, I have the business. Now we have Christine's job, which is amazing. That's a baseline, and that's pretty current level goal stuff, which we'll talk about, you know, those things in another class recording. But, you know, but this new opportunity has been pretty resistant in some ways, which I'm working through, and it's actually settling in now. I feel the energy sort of settling. But it's been more resistant because my subconscious isn't used to that. You know, it's sort of, there are a lot of fears that have been coming up, right? So that's been happening. And whatever the result is, I mean, it's taught me a lot about how all this stuff works. But, you know, the business, I mean, which is a miracle now, because it's like, now that's a baseline. That's pretty easy for at least a base amount to come through every month. And it's been like that for a while now. And then, like I said, Christine's job and the other stuff, the other income sources we have, little minor things. And then, you know, this opportunity coming up that is more difficult. That's a doorway I'm working on opening, right? So I think that's an important lesson, that whatever your goal is, you want to also look at the doorways that it might need to use, and are those doors open for you? And sometimes you want to choose a door that is already sort of open before you work on opening another one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's like, if you're wanting to start that business and you're at a job, maybe you kind of don't like that job, but if you don't have that confidence, you probably want to stay a while because that's an open door of abundance for you. Right. And you really don't want to close off that door while another door isn't ready to take up take on that weight.
Absolutely not. There's many people who got themselves in a lot of trouble.
Oh, God, yes. Right.
It took Brandon, it took you a long time.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, what? And not to disclose your age, but you're going to be 29 in September.
Right. Yeah. And I've been working at this since I was in college.
Well, you know. Yeah, and, you know, with this potential opportunity, you know.
Right.
It took my sister a long time, too, to figure out what she wanted. Sure. She was actually older than you.
Right.
When she figured it out. So, probably 31 or 32.
And, right.
You know, so.
So you want to focus on those doorways.
Right.
And see how the, you know, the manifestations can come through. So that's an important point. Again, inertia and dynamism are the two basic forces you're looking at. Both are useful. Inertia, look at where your goal is right now. And I encourage you, feel free, you know, to comment about this if you want to in the comments of this lesson. Where you don't have to name your goal necessarily. That can be private sometimes. But where is the inertia? Okay, how satisfactory is the current inertia of that goal? I'm guessing not very much so, but, you know, let me know a little bit about that. And, you know, just kind of observe for yourself where that is, where would it need to go for it to be satisfactory to you? Because basically what you're trying to do with magic, with the process of creation, is you're taking, again, you're disrupting, and this is what we mean, you're disrupting the laws of the objective universe, the order of the objective universe. So you're taking the current inertia and adding your will, which we'll talk about later, adding dynamism into the mix to disrupt that inertia until you reach a new level of inertia, and then you let it go, and you let it go on its path. So you're using, let's say, minimal energy to get there, because you don't, it's like willpower. You don't always want to keep up willpower because it's not going to last, right? It's like people who try to start a new habit. If you change too much at once, and I've talked about this before, if you change too much at once, it's not going to work because your subconscious can't keep up. The inertia is being changed too quickly. You can't, dynamism takes a lot of willpower. You can't keep up that willpower. And so when you inevitably let go, the inertia hasn't actually been changed because you just fought the current inertia.
Yeah. People say that it takes 21 days to kick a habit or something, or to start a new habit.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Right.
I think it takes longer than that.
It just depends on what it is and how big it is.
But I don't think that's a set, day or right. set amount.
Right. So, you know, that's, you have to make small changes, and that's what we'll be dealing with. But, you know, if you try to change it too much at once, it won't work. So you're using minimal energy to get to that point. And you do want to use inertia because, you know, if you have to constantly work to stay at your new level, you won't stay there for long.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, sometimes it's easy to just do it in chunks.
Right.
You say, my level is, I want
exactly.
to make 60,000 a year. Well, you know what? If there's an opportunity, you're 30, there's an opportunity for me to make 38,000 a year. I'll take it. You know, you just
well, that's
take
what
that
I did. I mean,
because that's advancement. Yeah. And then you lock in at that level and you know, hey, I'm not at 60, but hey, I'm getting there. That's a, you right. know, that's a sign from the universe. And then you see another opportunity to get to 50 and you take it because
right.
You know, you keep going up till you get to 60 and you yep. slow down at 50 and you lock in with your hermit path or your inertia.
Yeah.
And when your subconscious is used to it, you jump again.
Yep.
That's exactly what you did for years and years and years.
Right. And even in, recent times, each time I increased my goal, it was by about 20%, which was pretty believable for me.
That's how I do it and have done it for years. It's just when I want something, I spring for it.
Right.
Stay in place.
Move forward a little bit and then.
Very powerful. One powerful leap if I can.
Right.
And then stay there.
So, you know, you do want to make sure. So inertia is useful for that reason because it helps you to lock in that new level because you can't hold it in motion forever. You the point is to create a new order, to create a new inertia, so that it will pick up from where you left off. So that's your aim with all of this. Be active as long as you have to be active and then let it go. And then the flow will take it naturally to where you want it to be. It's like I've said this before. Do you think, like, for someone who is making, let's say, 30,000, to be making a million a year is like impossible.
It would be like going to the top of the hill on the roller coaster.
Right.
And then letting inertia take you down to the other side.
I mean, exactly.
That's essentially, there's a tipping point.
Yep.
When your actual momentum and will take you to where you want to go. But you've got to get through most of the resistance first.
Right.
For most people, you can't build enough power to just do it in one.
Right.
It's possible to do that, but I would not advise it for the most part because it'll rip you apart. So exactly. What you want to do is, because I just went through that.
Yeah.
Nightmare. But I had to.
Yeah.
It worked. I succeeded. That was using magic.
Right.
But that's what you really, sorry about that. I just want to say, that's what you want to do is you want to make sure that you take what the resistance gives you and you keep moving forward. Don't stay there until you get what you want.
Yep.
And then you use the or until you get to a stopping point, then you base out with your inertia.
Yep. Right. So like I was saying, if you're making 30,000, making a million is going to be like impossible. It's going to be really, really, that would take monumental amounts of work. If you're already making a million, then making a million is inertia. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take work. That's what it's all about, right? So that's the flow. But if you're making 30,000, then making a million is not inertia. That is tons of dynamism to the degree that I don't think you could probably handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have really strong willpower to hold it up until it sets in, but that don't, please don't try that at
you
home.
Moved heaven and earth and some other people out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. Don't try this at home.
Lots of
I wouldn't even attempt it.
You look
I
down.
Wouldn't either.
Your entire landscape changed.
Yeah, right. So, but if you're already a millionaire, then that is current level. That's inertia. Right? So that's easy for you. That's nothing. It's a piece of cake. But if you're not there, you're not there. So that's what we mean about being active and then letting inertia take over to carry on the structures you've set up. All right. Last thing I want to discuss regarding black magic, regarding exactly how we're going to do all this. So there are three levels of black magic. And we will cover, let's say, at least one, maybe one and a half in this class. Those levels, okay, so again, black magic, the art of creating change in the objective universe through your will. Okay, there is lesser black magic, and I'll define these in a moment, lesser black magic. There is what has been called medial, meaning in the middle, medial black magic, and there's greater black magic. Okay? The difference is this. I'll define the extremes, and then by the extremes we can find the middle, the median, you know, medial black magic. Lesser black magic is not really magic at all. You're using principles like, you know, anything in psychology, NLP, things like that. Persuasion to indirectly, but very, very effectively get your desired outcome. So, you know, apply a little pressure here and there, social engineering, you know, things like that, knowing how to talk to people in the right way to accomplish your goal. It's not really, there's not much energetic about it. You have to be lined up with it energetically for it to work. But there's not much energetic about it. It's just knowing how to apply psychology. It reminds me of, I don't know if anyone, neither of you do, any of our listeners, listen or have read the Discworld series by Terry Pratchett.
I read one book of it, I think.
Have you? Oh, it's so good. But there's this kind of sub-series about these three witches, okay? And, oh, they're so funny too. And one of the things they say that they don't like to use their magic all the time. They don't like to be real showy. What they say is they call it headology.
Okay.
Because it's in your head. So, you know, basically what I just said, you know, manipulating someone else through words alone, through actions alone, you know, it's headology. You know how to manipulate them. It doesn't require any actual magic. Right?
Yeah.
So that,
which then they probably think it is.
Yeah, of course, there, you know, other people think it kind of is, but
there are people, yeah.
But, well, you know, and then the thing is, people, by the time they realize what they've done, it's already done. Like, oh, why did I do that, you know? And that's, you see it all the time in advertising, marketing, politics, anything like that that is trying to persuade you of something is going to use lesser black magic.
Yeah.
Whereas our three witches call it headology. So if you've read the Discworld series or any of it, if you've read about the three witches, then you'll know what I'm talking about. That's a great, it's exactly lines up with what lesser black magic is. So,
dwarves come with their own axes.
Yeah.
That's in there.
Yes. What? Which book was it you read?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I just know they say, good thing about dwarven mercenaries is they come with their own axes.
They come with their own axes. I probably read that. I've read most of the books by this point, but I don't know what.
Yeah, are there any you haven't read? No.
Yes, there are. Right now I'm on Soul Music, it's called.
I need to read them, I guess.
Oh, you should. They're so good.
I don't like them because I don't like the recording.
Read the ones about the witches. They're so good.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's headology is what they call it, but lesser black magic.
Headology.
Okay, greater black magic is really where you pull out all the stops. You do the ritual. You do the, you know, real dramatic, like the psychodrama of the ritual and all that kind of stuff. So through ritual, you make changes to your, let's say, inner landscape, you could say to your subjective universe, so that changes can be made to your objective universe. Okay, so through ritual, you're changing how your subconscious sees things, what your perspective is, and then that magical link, which truly you could call the law of attraction, because you're changing the inertia from within through dynamism, and then through what you could really call the law of attraction, like attracts like, because of what you hold within is what is going to happen without. It pulls it into alignment and you get your goal just through a ritual. That's greater black magic. And then in the middle, we have everything else. Medial black magic is basically the same thing where you are changing your subjective universe, what I used to call your inner reality. But you're doing it through kind of more simple means, just through pure will, through visualization, through affirmations. Basically, the whole domain of the law of attraction, except that's all still very watered down, and most of it doesn't work that well. But medial black magic is the stuff we're teaching here. So in this class, The Art of Reality Creation 2.0, we are teaching primarily medial black magic, which can be effective in many, many, many cases. As I discussed in the support call number 33, you know, I think it was anyway, maybe. That will cover a lot of your cases, but not when you want to go further. Okay, not when you really, that ritual is going to move a lot more energy. No, where was it, Christine? We discussed that. It wasn't in the support call, was it?
No, I remember. It was.
Was it, or it was in the podcast?
Might have been in a podcast.
I don't know. It was somewhere. Just read all our stuff and you'll get there eventually. But about you need ritual to move a lot more energy. So
yeah, I don't remember where that was either.
The law of attraction stuff will just sort of, it'll get you part of the way, but not. It was during the support call, because then someone said about, am I just going to ignore law of attraction stuff on the site?
Yeah, well it's.
It was in the support call.
Yeah, it was support call, yeah. It's just that. Law of attraction, it's hard to get through if you do not have an actual highway.
Yes.
You have to really work with law of attraction through visualization and a lot of, power and emotion and energy. You have to really work to get it to work. Whereas if you use magic or call down a deity to help you, it's going to be more, you're going to get more out of it.
Right,
move a lot more energy.
Yep. Right, so medial black magic is what we're dealing with, and that's going to get you a lot of the way. If you have major, let's say, if we're using that highway analogy, if you have major, traffic congestion, then medial black magic may not be enough. Or if your goal is so big that you really need to make huge changes, medial black magic may not be enough. And in general, it'll get you part of the way, but it'll do a lot. You know, these techniques are very, very, very effective, but, again, if you want to go deeper, you want to do the greater black magic. And that's really why we have the Order of the Black Flame that's going to cover all that kind of stuff. Someone asked me if I'm going to cover ritual in this class. No, I'm not, because ritual is greater black magic, and that is not the domain of this class. If you want that, you will have to join the order. So we will be talking about medial black magic, a little bit of lesser, because we're going to be talking about NLP, but mostly in the context of changing your own subjective universe through NLP techniques. Really, we're going to be talking about medial black magic nearly exclusively. If you want the other types, then you'll have to find that in the order or through other resources. So that's really what we're dealing with, you know, is just using your will to create change in your subjective universe through various techniques, which we will discuss, but, you know, a lot of the common ones, visualization, affirmations, journaling, one of my favorites, stuff like that. So that is going to change your subjective universe and thereby create change in the objective universe. So that's medial black magic. Now, to kind of explain how that works, why is it that when we change the inside, it changes the outside? Why is that? And that's what people call the law of attraction. I like how there's a document called Black Magic by Michael Aquino. And you can find it online, but how he describes it in that document is there's a magical link between the subjective universe and the objective universe. The subjective universe is your inner world, your imagination, your thoughts, the meaning you place on the outer objective universe. That's your subjective universe. There is a link between that in the objective universe, because we know the objective universe can influence your subjective universe, because, you know, if just like, okay, Christine saying those words to me is a great example. When she said to me what she said about, you know, maybe soon you can actually get new clients, that was an objective universe event, which is through her words, which influenced to a very great degree my subjective universal layout, so to speak, right? And so because of that link, how I felt about my business changed radically, right? So, but the link also goes the other way. It brings us back to, you know, if you know the Hermetic principles, as within, so without, right? As above, so below, that all works. So what you tend to change or what you tend to be or to hold in your subjective universe will be reflected in some way in your objective universe. Okay? So that is how your subjective universe influences the outside world, right? So changing the inside, this is really what magic is all about. Changing the inside through that magical link also is reflected in the outside. And that's how it works. Again, things get in the way sometimes, obviously, like resistance and subconscious programming and things like that. But that's just more of your subjective universe kind of fighting back, because the subjective universe can have inertia too. You know, you have certain ways of thinking, you have certain ways of being, of acting, that is inertia. So it takes dynamism, it takes will, which we'll talk about some other time, to interrupt that order and insert your own order. Okay. So, you know, again, when Christine said those words to me, through that link, the objective universe of her words influenced my subjective universe. And then inversely, through the link the other way, my new perspective on my business, which said, oh my gosh, I can't make money through this, I'm not going to get new clients, blah, 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 then created 4 months of a dry spell of no clients, right? And that was, again, when the business started and all that kind of stuff happened. So that is, it kind of went both ways, right? Through the outside, I was influenced. And then because of the influence that I had on the outside was changed in a way I did not want. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. it's just a good example. I don't mean to harp on it, really.
Oh. No.
It's just a great example.
Well, I'm the one that brought it up, so.
Yes. I wasn't going to go there. But so again, you know, we talked about why we're not using the law of attraction. You know, we're going to, except when we're comparing, we will definitely do that. But, you know, for our own principles, it is mainly medial black magic or just black magic or just magic, whatever. But it's just, it's the creation process or magic. Because it's more active, as I said earlier. We talked about inertia versus dynamism and why inertia is useful, but it's probably not where you want it to be right now. And you have to respect that and learn how to change it. And we talked about different ways of changing it through, you know, your will or through resistance that's you know, inserted into the mix accidentally, usually. And we talked about the three different types of black magic, lesser, medial, and greater black magic. And again, in this class, we're discussing medial black magic. And I discuss a little bit how that works with the magical link between the two universes. So that is everything, I think, for today. Next time, we'll probably be discussing, I think, again, this is kind of flexible, so don't quote me on it, but we will be discussing basically, you know, some of more specific principles, how all this stuff works. We'll talk about how to choose your goal, the different types of goals there are, how to determine what kind yours is, and we'll just see from there where the energy flows. I discussed publicly about the reality control room. I'm not sure which class that will be in, you know, that will be introduced in yet, but it will be soon. I'm excited for that one.
I wrote it, guys, so count on it.
Yeah. Yes. It's going to be here. Nah, so again, you know,
said don't quote you or something.
No, it'll be definite. I don't know. I just don't know when it'll be yet, but, you know, please comment. I ask you to, you know, think about your goal and let us know where that inertia is right now and where you want it to be. And, you know, that'll give you a good idea as to why you're not there yet and how big of a leap it might take to get there. Okay, and then we'll teach you all the principles to fill in that gap. Okay, so leave a comment, discuss these principles in the, you know, the class, on the class page, and I will we'll all be replying to that, I'm sure. Maybe not Christine, she doesn't like comments, but that's okay. But Justin and I will definitely reply though.
Yes.
So, you know, I want to have a discussion there because it only works if you're active with all of this, if you're really applying it. You know, we can't force this down your throat. You know, you have to apply it. And it's really helpful if you ask us your specific questions or talk to us about the problems you're having or things like that. That's the only way we can know what's going on and what we have to do to help. All right. So I hope that everyone enjoyed this. We will return next week with the second class. So again, let us know if anyone has any questions, but otherwise, I hope everyone has a great week. Bye, everyone.